again. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour of the program, the MATC Promise, Milwaukee Area Technical College, has announced a new initiative that will provide a free college education for low-income high school graduates in the Milwaukee area. There are many high school students in the Milwaukee area who identify as low income. As a matter of fact, the figure is 83%, if not higher than that. This program, the MATC Promise, will provide free college education for area high school graduates who meet program eligibility requirements. They will help students become successful in attending MATC and preparing for their own lives, and lives that will have much more meaning and success probably than if they were not able to be in such a program. We're delighted this hour to talk with two of the leaders from MATC about this program, why it was started. There are other programs, you'll be familiar with some of these in other parts of the country. And of course, the president has talked about making community college free for students in this country as a goal of his administration. We have two guests with us in our Milwaukee studios today. Dr. Vicki Martin is president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, has served at MATC since 1988, most recently before president. She was vice president and provost. She was a vice president of MATC's Oak Creek campus and director of strategic planning for 3 years before that. Dr. Vicki Martin, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Also joining us in our studios, Dr. Trevor Kabatsky has served as vice president of student services at MATC since 2012. He before that was vice president for student and educational services at Delta College in University Center, Michigan, for a number of years. And Dr. Kabatsky, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
So tell me about the inspiration for this program. It's an idea whose time has come. The president has called for free community colleges. There are little pockets of places in the country that have similar kinds of programs, right?
Right. So about a year ago, in fact, this month, last year, there was a national convention for our community colleges, the AACC, which is the American Association of Community Colleges. And one of our alumni was being recognized as just one of the best in the country. And so I was there to help present her award on behalf of that association. And I was able to attend a workshop from the folks from Tennessee doing the Tennessee Promise, a statewide initiative. Mm-hmm. And as I sat in on that particular workshop and started listening to the wonderful work that they were doing and how they were going to pay for it, I thought, I wonder if there is a way for us to do that as an individual college, because I didn't think we were going to do it statewide. The governor there had taken $300 million in lottery dollars, and I just didn't think that that was going to happen here in the state of Wisconsin. So I thought, I wonder if there is a way, or if other colleges are doing it with a private partnership. And they did mention Harper College in Illinois, mm-hmm. as well as other colleges that have done this individually. And as I listened more and thought about our student population and the needs of our community, I really thought, we have to do this. We absolutely have to do this. And I came back and I talked to my team, Dr. Kabatsky in particular, because he's familiar with the Kalamazoo Promise in Michigan, and just started to do the research, called Harper College, called other colleges, did our research and looked into it. And we really looked at Tennessee and said, we want to reach as many students as possible. A lot of the Promise programs start in the ninth grade, and they set a number of criteria, and the students work each year, and if they meet the criteria by the time they're seniors, then they're eligible, which usually ends up being a smaller number. But given the circumstances here in our city, in terms of poverty and how many students are economically disadvantaged in our community, as you mentioned in the beginning, as well as middle skill jobs that were available and not being filled, and our employers telling us we need more employees in these areas that you trained for, and what middle skills is more than a high school diploma but less than a four-year degree. And they were saying, where are the graduates? And what happened was, as the economy got better, more of our students went back to work. And so what they were doing is working and coming back to school part-time, because the average age of our student is around 30.
Is it?
Right. And so direct from high school, we were only getting about 11%. We said, you know, this is a great way to attract those students, and around, we were finding around 50% were not going on to a 2 or 4 year school, and we weren't sure. They're probably going to work, probably someone into the military, but we really thought that that's a population that nationally we know don't think that they can afford to go to college. We thought that's the group we really got to reach and make sure that they understand that they really need to come to college, because there won't be very many jobs available for them in the future if they don't come. And our community desperately needs more and more employees who are trained in the kinds of program areas that we offer. We offer over 200 different program areas. And so we knew that we had to find a way to attract these students to come to our college. Mm-hmm. And that's when we decided we were going to launch the Promise.
And you're dealing with a population, too. I would imagine that many of the prospective students don't have a lot of college graduates because of cost and all kinds of reasons in their families. They have to get to work right away out of high school. So they're doing something that's new to them and new to the family. So you have not only the offer of being able to do this at a cost they can afford, but also support, because it takes a lot of support to go to college, right? If you haven't done it before, nobody in your family. Trevor.
Sure, and that's one thing we set out to do right away. College is affordable to students if they understand the process, and you made a good point that a lot of these families didn't have college graduates in them. No one had gone. So even when we would reach out to those students in the high schools and say, you know, there's federal Pell Grants and state grants, that didn't ring at home. You know, got home and, well, I want to go to college. Well, we can't afford to go to college. So that's why one of the messages we sent right away was free. Parents, guardians, anyone in the family can understand free. So that was the message we thought would resonate, and it did. The response we got was tremendous. So start with that to get them realizing that college is possible, and then we provide all the services to fill out their federal financial aid, to provide them access to ACT prep classes, things of that nature, so that they really could then understand what it takes to prep for college.
Mm-hmm. So you've already identified incoming students for next fall? That's all set, or are you still looking?
Right. So what we did is we launched September 9th, and we announced it so that we could really get out and start recruiting the seniors and start telling them, if you work hard this year, you will be eligible and you will be in the Promise program. And so that's what we did. We really got the word out, and our first deadline was December 1st. And out of all the students that we contacted, we had about 3,000 students who signed up and said, I am interested
really?
In being part
that's
of the Promise program.
Students.
Yes.
Can you take 3,000?
We can take 3,000.
Really?
At our peak, when the economy was really low, our enrollments were quite high. So at our peak enrollment, we could absorb those 3,000 students. In retrospect, we usually get about 11% of our high school graduates. That represents just about 40% of the high school graduates in our district. So it was a tremendous, the message resonated. They came.
Mm-hmm. And how did you qualify? Income level? Did you have to have a certain attendance record, grades, et cetera?
Yes.
A lot of it. So the first application was just apply to the college and apply by December. A lot of our direct from high school students don't apply until July or August of the year they want to come. So this was a new process for them to apply that early. Then they have to fill out the federal financial aid forms. And after you fill that out, the federal government sends you what is called an estimated family contribution. So that's what the federal government says you can afford to pay for college. And so students have to have a 3,000 or less EFC to qualify.
EFC.
Estimated family contribution.
Okay.
So that, you know, that's typically around a family of four making about $35,000 to $40,000. So $3,000 to that family would be very difficult mm-hmm. to imagine every year paying for college. So they fill out that document. That sets their criteria for their income levels. And then we needed them to have an ACT score of 16, so we knew that they were in a position to take advantage of all four semesters of the free education. And then ultimately, their senior year in high school, they have to have a 2.0, and they have to be in attendance 90% of the semester or the year, because we know that to be educated, you have to be present. So those were the criteria that we set forth for this.
And one more, we wanted to make sure that they graduated on time, so they had to be an on-time four-year graduate instead of a five-year or six-year.
So they'll be eligible, the federal aid, all that's done, then you will provide what is left for college education to make it free for the people.
So yeah, we will apply their federal grants and state grants, and then we will make up the difference between their tuition fees.
And it's for how long? You get 2 years?
Four semesters.
Four consecutive semesters, full time.
Credits?
15.
15 credits. And can you transfer that if you decide to go to a four-year college? You can transfer all of that too, can't you?
Right. Absolutely. And we have career pathways for each of our program areas. And in those career pathways, it shows to specifically where those credits transfer to. And so we list them for every student who comes in. We can show them what the pathway looks like, entry points, exit points, and what are the colleges they can transfer to. In addition, we have guaranteed transfer to UW-Milwaukee and to UW-Madison.
I see.
And so students who come in and say, I know I want to go to a four-year institution, we do have that college transfer function as well. We're only one of five of the 16 technical college system colleges that have that, and that's what makes us comprehensive in nature.
So what are the career pathways that these young people are interested in?
It's all over the board.
Is it?
It's amazing. I think we touched upon almost every single program we have, all 200 of them. We had some very large interest in criminal justice.
Really? Interesting.
A very large population of this were interested in that. And, of course, our healthcare programs were also among some of the top programs interested in. Along with that, we had business management, computer electronics, culinary arts, the transfer degrees, of course, cosmetology and human services. So all of those had over 50 students who were interested in those programs. So our academics have worked really hard to be ready to welcome this many students into the programs.
Mm-hmm. And in many of those areas, I would think that your possibilities of getting employment, having a career for yourself, are pretty great, aren't they, if you go through the program?
Oh, absolutely. For those folks who go into our associate degree programs, 91% of them within 6 months are employed. So we work with our advisory committees, and each of our programs has an advisory committee made up of folks in the business and the industries that are related to these different program areas that help advise us on the curriculum, equipment, program outcomes, help students to figure out what skill sets they need to be successful when they do get into the workforce. So we know those students are really ready because we have those partners working with us.
Mm. One of my favorite memories, I've been doing radio for a long time in Milwaukee, but I got to tell you, as you were talking about culinary arts, I remember going to MATC where there was a master baker, and we used to go and eat cake there about once every 3 months. It was always the highlight of the season. It was great.
Yeah, it's still a highlight because we do have a whole new baking lab, state-of-the-art, brand new, and we have put together a little cafe that the students run and sell their...
Yes, that as well. It's very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So in order to identify the students, how are you letting high school students know about this? Do you just go to the office, the central office at MPS, or what?
We've been had great partners from all of our high schools. So we first met with MPS, all of their administration, and then all of their counselors, as well as counselors and administration from all the high schools in our district. And they have been a great partner throughout this. They have the students in high school. They know who they are. They've really encouraged them. We anecdotally, we hear things where a counselor had a student go in and say, oh, I'm not going to college, handed him MATC's catalog and said, tomorrow come in and tell me what program you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great partnership, and we really appreciate all the high school help.
Yeah,
I think what it's done is it's really turned around our partnerships with the high schools. I think in the past, the emphasis has been on what four-year school you're going to transfer to.
Right.
And now it's changed to, here's an opportunity for you to go to college and have a better life. And there's all kinds of programs there, including the transfer program, if that's what you still want to do. And look how cost-effective,
yeah, exactly,
a four-year degree would really be. And so I think the counselors, just how they've been so much more open to talking about what a two 2-year degree can get these students and help them on to a better life for themselves and their families. And I just think that even with the superintendents and Dr. Driver in particular has been a really strong partner, but as Dr. Kapotsky mentioned, they've all been just really supportive and really wanting this for their students.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we touched on this earlier in the conversation. The reason that they hadn't thought about doing this and maybe getting a job at a fast food restaurant or something and not being able to make very much money and stuck there for a number of years if the average age had been age 30. People hadn't thought of it because nobody in the family had thought of it, or MPSs or schools just don't have the time to make sure that they're guiding students toward these kinds of programs, or why? Why wouldn't you automatically think, oh, I'd really like a career in preparing food or in criminal justice or whatever?
I think what we've heard and what we've seen is the message is in the schools, so the counselors are talking to the students, but when that student gets home and you don't have anyone who's been to college or done any advanced degrees or post-secondary, the conversation gets very difficult. Mm-hmm. Maybe the parent had gone right to the workforce, there's nothing there. And then when you put on top of that the federal documents, the financial aid documents you need to fill out, which aren't the easiest things in the world.
I'm sure.
And if you ask anybody who's done it, the mayor was on campus and has done it with his children and said it's difficult but doable. So when you add all those things together, and then if parents haven't gone through that, they also don't understand what money is available. So they're looking at and often they're looking at a 4-year school price of $10,000, $12,000, and they're like, there's no way I can do this. They don't often get into the details to find out that you can come to MATC at a much lower cost, and that's why the message of free really is how we wanted to send that message, because that gets them interested in looking, and then we can explain to them that the state and federal government has money available to all students to provide some education for you, and why leave that on the table? Let's come in, get the education, and take advantage of it.
Yeah. When you look at other programs, you mentioned this was a private partnership. Is that unusual? Is it more often the case that state funds are available for making community college free?
Well, usually there are scholarships available once a student is admitted and once they maintain a certain grade point average and so forth. We did not have any funds to attract students to actually come to college to pay for it because they had met eligibility requirements in high school. And so I think that's what was very different about this and why we needed to have the private partnership is that, yes, there were some federal dollars available, but it wasn't enough for all the students that wanted to come who were low income.
Yeah. I would imagine that number, once people know about it, is going to grow substantially, right?
We hope so. We're excited about that, yeah. So our first year, like Dr. Martin said, we received 3,000 applications December 1st. We were hoping for 1,000 or 1,500, so we were thrilled when that many students. And we had some schools that had almost 100% of their senior class apply. So we're very excited about that. This is our hope, is that this becomes just the culture of our school system, that a fifth grader doesn't think, will I go to college? They know they'll go to college.
Right.
And so their whole K-12 career is in preparation of going to college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And more career planning. Really determining what their interests are. And it's not whether it's at a 4-year or 2-year. What is their career pathway?
Which is really important. It's important to do what you want to do in your life. Right. Once you get to MATC, what are the requirements? Do you need a certain GPA and attendance record?
Sure. We look at this as a 3-way promise, and we keep talking about it that way. So we're promising the students something, the students promising us something, and then both of us are promising business and industry qualified graduates at the end of the pipeline. So when they're a student with us, they have to maintain 12 hours. We will pay up to 15, but the federal government says full-time students are 12, so they have to be in 12 credit hours every semester. They have to maintain a 2.0 while they're at the college. We will have a number of activities and services that they have to participate in. We want them to understand tutoring and academic support and meet with their advisor and learn how to write a resume. So there's going to be activities that they will have to complete. But the number one thing that we're proud of is they will have to do 8 hours of volunteerism in the community, because that's another part of this. A large number of our students stay in the community, and Dr. Martin knows that number off the top of her head.
92%. We don't have a brain drain. I mean, 92% of the students come from our community, stay in our community. And one of the great things about having them do 8 hours of community service is that they get to appreciate more about their community as well and really want to continue to stay here, too.
Right. Well, let's welcome phone calls. We're talking about the MATC Promise this hour of the program. 3,000 students will start at MATC in this program next fall, which is really amazing. It's offering helping in all ways possible high school students being able to attend college and prepare for a career at no cost to the student. And we're talking about it this hour and welcoming your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Dr. Vicki Martin is the president of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Dr. Trevor Kabatsky, vice president of student services. It's something that, you know, this idea, and it started in Tennessee, of making community college available and free to students is a goal of many in this country. And we're beginning to see that happen in some states. Now this program at MATC, which should obviously there's a need for it, there's a hunger for it with so many students applying and being able to participate come September. Did I give you the email? talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page where we love to read your comments is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. So we'll be with you momentarily here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we go to phone calls about the MATC Promise. Rich in Two Rivers, our first caller. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I am a living testimony to the importance of a community college education. In 1987, I wanted to be a physical therapist, and because they're stringent criteria to get into the programs, I never applied, but I ended up working for a physical therapy assistant program that ended up sending me to Tidewater University, which is a community college in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in the profession for 30 years.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I ended up, I've raised two brilliant children. One works for Google, and one works for Yahoo.
Huh.
One works in Los Angeles, and the other one works in Manhattan. And I struggled. It's a tough career. But because of the opportunity that the community college system gave to me, I ended up becoming a better person.
Thank you for calling.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Any other further comments?
It really speaks to our mission, and that is to serve our community in their educational needs, whether they know what they are today or they know what they are when they're 30 or 40. MATC was founded to help the forgotten children of Milwaukee, and we do that today and every day.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's what we're all about, is offering more opportunities for people, that there isn't just one pathway to success.
Right, absolutely. Thanks very much, Rich. All the best to you. Carry on,
yeah.
Sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Jerry in Green Bay. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, it's Gary. But
oh, it's Gary. Hi, Gary.
I just have a really quick comment for your guests, and it is good for you. You know,
Thank you.
You're not wringing your hands, waiting for somebody else to pick up the ball. You're doing it. So good for you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm interested in the Michigan program, too, because we did shows on that when it first started. Can you worked with what's going on in Michigan where college education is offered if you're certain income, certain grade point level?
Well, there's a couple things. Kalamazoo Promise was
one of the early ones, and that was a promise
program for graduates of Kalamazoo City Schools, and it's a rated scale depending on how many years you've been in school there, and they provide 4 years of college education no matter where you want to go, and you can do that anywhere in a 10-year period after graduation.
Mm.
They were blessed with some anonymous donors who are anonymous to today that donated a little over $90 million out the gate. So we have learned a lot of lessons from them on how to reach parents and how to reach students. But they're in, I think, they just finished, I think, their 10th year, and it's still going strong.
10th year now? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So it's been very successful.
Yes.
And what are the figures you have? you hear this just as a matter of course now, that in order to have any chance of success in this society, you really do need some kind of training beyond high school. Do you have numbers that bear that out, Vicki?
We do. In fact, if you look at a lot of the surveys that were out and look at future jobs, we do know that middle-skill jobs are where most of the jobs will be. We also know that those who require the bachelor's degree or more will also be growing. And so if you look at those two together, it's about 75% of the jobs will require some kind of post-secondary education. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that leaves very few jobs left for those who don't have that kind of education mm-hmm. that they need.
And when you hear from businesses in this area, you talked about 92% of the people staying in this area. What are you hearing from business, and how do you meet the needs of the jobs that are available now and the jobs that will be available that we don't even know exactly what they are 10 or 20 years from now?
Right. So we're also looking at trends in terms of what is the current market like? I'll use IT as an example. And so we have seen quite a few changes over the years in IT and mm-hmm. how that's evolved. And there was a period of time where we had so many enrollments in IT, and then it dropped off because they weren't hiring so many. But as the economy started to improve, of course, it's gone up again, especially in IT security. That's a huge area
really?
Of growth. Oh, yeah. It's a huge area of growth. And we're also seeing networking is a really important IT career as well. And so what we do with our advisory committees is we usually have CIO breakfasts, for example. We're going to have one coming up in June, and we're going to meet with all those leaders to say, what are those trends that are coming? Here's where our programs are right now. And when we meet with your advisory committees, where we have members of your companies sitting on those advisory committees, they're telling us these are the skill sets that are needed. But at the same time, we have to plan for the future. And so what's coming? And data analytics is a huge area that we know is in a growth spurt right now, because everyone is looking at databases. Colleges are really moving to that as well to really help to reach out and make sure that students are more successful. But you have a lot of information about the students. You have to be able to analyze that data and then be able to use that data. We're seeing in hospitals right now the need for data, and just even doctors are starting to input information on a regular basis, and there's professionals that they're hiring that have to enter all that data so that you can start planning better, be more effective, be more efficient mm-hmm. in how things happen. But you have to bring those people together, and that's what we try to do as a community, is bring people together, talk about what those trends are, look at the national trends. We have a data system that we use as well that projects where the jobs are going to be in the future. We do that with all of our programs, and so we know exactly where we're at, if we're meeting the demand. So we have a lot of conversations both with employers, with our advisory committees, with the leaders, and we're looking at national data and local data as well. Our workforce development department for Wisconsin helps us, as well as some city data.
Hmm. Yeah, and it really meets our mission, because our mission is to meet the needs of our businesses. So we have to hear from them every year to know if we're on track. We are also very flexible and very adaptable, and our programs and our faculty strive in making sure that our education is relevant today, so that when that student leaves our school, they are ultimately prepared for their profession, and there's no training needed. They hit the job running, and our businesses are very happy about that.
Yeah. And let's talk about healthcare for a moment. I know that it's been a mainstay of NBTC for some time. What kinds of healthcare programs are there? And this is a field that's going to need people for a long, long time, and even more so as baby boomers get old, right?
Right. So the one I mentioned was health information technology mm-hmm. is certainly one. But the one that is one of our biggest is, of course, our nursing program. That includes the LPN and the registered nursing program. We know that there's a movement to make sure that our students eventually go on for their bachelor's degree. And we do have all kinds of agreements where students know that at the beginning of their program. But when they finish that 2 years, they can sit for the state board exam in nursing. And they start out at an average wage of about $53,000. So it's a great field. We have radiography. We've got, as the gentleman who called in, we've got physical therapy assistant, occupational therapy assistant.
Respiratory care. Cardiovascular. Anybody you meet in the hospital that's not a doctor, mm-hmm. we can probably train them.
Mm-hmm. And this is a growing field, too. Do you see more jobs in this area as the years go on?
Yes, and there's going to be major shortages. And so we know that. And in talking with some of our healthcare partners, we even know there will probably be jobs that we'll be creating in the next 5 to 10 years that will be part of the healthcare team. And so by working and planning now, especially in terms of if we want to get more nursing students, we have to have more clinical sites. And we have to figure that out together because there will be a huge nursing shortage, as there is with doctors as well, will there be with nursing. And so we have to figure out how are we going to make sure that we have enough faculty who are prepared. That's true of our manufacturing and our construction field as well. Many of the areas we are experiencing the same issues of retirements that everybody else is. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to find more of those qualified instructors to make sure that we can deliver the instruction that this community and region needs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of our programs that tie into that. We mentioned IT security earlier. Hospitals are very concerned about their data and their services, so our IT professionals are finding jobs in hospitals. It's not just our health programs that are servicing our health industry. It's a number of our programs that feed into that.
Mm-hmm. What about the whole push in this country? I'm wondering from your perspective, if you think we emphasize too much, our teachers, our high schools emphasize going to colleges, four-year colleges, at the expense of going to a two-year college, maybe transferring, or at the expense of finding, you know, a career in construction or whatever it happens to be that would be beneficial for somebody and go to MATC for a couple of years. Are we neglecting our community colleges, do you think?
I do. I think about a year or two ago before we did the promise, I think we were what we were called the best kept secret here in Milwaukee. Mm. And given our size of 40,000 students annually.
40,000, really?
Right.
It's large.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have four campuses. We have two education centers. We have 30 community-based organizations. We do corporate learning where we go out to businesses. When you think about our size and to be a well-kept secret, I think, you know, just tells you that a lot of people didn't know about us and don't know all the programs that we have to offer. Many think it's just we're just offer welding or manufacturing, but when they see the scope of our programs, they're often surprised, and they're often surprised by the quality, the rigor that we have. It is a college. We are accredited.
Mm-hmm. We're welcoming phone calls. We're talking about the MATC promise and more broadly about community colleges and about getting special training so that you can have a life that pays you more money than if you just graduate from college and don't have this training. This is a new initiative. It provides a free college education for low-income high school graduates in the Milwaukee area, and 92% of those who go to MATC stay within the area, so it's money well served. It will serve students who find college more than a bit out of reach financially, and many students who probably don't have a lot of college graduates or attendees in their families, so it helps them navigate the whole system, apply for aid, and whatever aid they don't get, or the college will make up for that. So if you get aid and it's more expensive, then this Promise program will allow you to go to college for free. So it's amazing. There are more than 200 programs at MATC, and they had a huge response, as you heard them say earlier, or maybe you didn't. They were expecting 1,000 or 1,500 students to be interested and apply, but they had over 3,000 students. There will be 3,000 now attending Milwaukee Promise next fall, which is pretty amazing. On a broader question, do you think that we neglect these kinds of schools and what they can offer students in terms of their future? Would you be supportive of an expansion of federal government to make sure that these kinds of programs are available to everybody? It's a private initiative here at MATC, but should it be something that's done across the board for all such schools in the country? What do you think? We welcome your phone calls at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Corey sends this email. Wow. wow, I wish this was available when I was in school. I grew up in the School of Hard Knocks. I never liked school and always got mediocre grades. My senior year, I missed over 60 days of school. I never really had any teacher or administrator try to motivate me to do better and plan for college. I barely graduated, went on to work one puff job to the next. Finally, after 5 to 6 years after high school, I went to a technical college and graduated as a paramedic. I had very good grades, was the first of my class to get my license. I'm working on a job not related to my degree because everyone wants 3 years of experience, but no one will hire you if you get it. Thank you for the opportunity to give kids like me this opportunity.
Great.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, too, because there are a lot of young people who just don't get it in high school or turned off to school or maybe didn't like and didn't do well in elementary school. And here you are at a time where you have to prepare for something and you just don't have what you need. And it's good you're reaching out to students who are younger and younger, too, so you can think about all of this when you're in ninth grade, right?
Right. I mean, what's really great is that in the state of Wisconsin, that in middle school, they'll start doing some of the career planning. And that's what's really great,
right?
Because now they can start really thinking about what they're interested in and start exploring that. And so as we start moving more and more into high schools, and we're trying to do the early college model, where we're getting some of these courses into high school so they can at least try them, see how, if they like them, and then, of course, they could continue their education. They'll be much further ahead as well. Even if they want to transfer on to a four-year, they at least know where they want to be early on versus, well, you know what, it just wasn't interesting to me. And I think some of our hands-on programs really resonate with our students, that they may try a four-year school and they come back and they do some of the hands-on kinds of programs that we have, and they really find their love and they find their passion for whatever career they want to go into. And so I think that that's what's really important, that we offer so many different career choices for students.
Yeah, that's great. Let's go to Gavin in Madison. Hi, Gavin.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm executive director of a group called Wisconsin Campus Compact, and MATC is actually a member. And I was going to say that I think this conversation represents the broader movement of universities and colleges being more responsive to community needs, kind of part of a broader service learning, civic engagement movement that's been going on for the last 30 years. I'm just kind of interested to hear your take on how this is part of the broader movement.
Well, I think, you know, what you're saying is a great comment, because I have been, and you know, we've been very involved, and we're part of, we've got the Carnegie designation for our service learning. And it is thinking about your community. And I think community colleges in particular, that's why we exist. We exist to serve our community. And I think when we can reach out into our neighborhoods and to our different businesses and industries and have students be exposed to what they're learning in the classroom and see how it actually applies to that community that they're working in, it enriches their experience completely. And yes, I think this is all part of it and why we really wanted to make sure they have those 8 hours of community service per semester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I just wanted to say that I think it's really great that you guys are a member of the broader movement, and I think this is a time when higher education definitely needs to be perceived as being in tune to what the community and the larger world really needs from them. And I think, you know, this is just a growing cadre of other universities who are trying to do the same thing. And I really commend MATC for doing this, and I really appreciate the conversation. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gavin, so much for your call. Jennifer in Wisconsin Dells. Hi.
Hi, yes. I was listening to the program, and I myself graduated from what used to be MATC, which is now Madison College. And I actually went to a class there through my high school, which was like a work-study program.
Oh.
And after I went there through that class through my high school, I ended up going there after I graduated high school and got my degree through Madison College. And my husband also got his degree through there. And after we had gone there for about a year, we had many friends actually transfer to Madison Technical College, and we actually convinced a couple of our friends who didn't go to college at all after they graduated high school and said, you know, you can get into Madison Technical College, and after a year or two, if you like it and you keep going, you can transfer on to a four-year and transfer all your all of your credits if you take transferable credits. And we had one of our friends who transferred on to a Milwaukee college, and she's actually gone on and been a great success, and she wasn't going to even go to college at all after she graduated high school.
Interesting. So, what did you study, yeah. Jennifer? What did you study?
I went in and studied to be a paralegal. And my husband, he went into I don't know what the degree was called to MATC at the time, but he does he did the design program through MATC. And right now he's I mean, he's had like three promotions at his job right now. And he's like the head design designer and manager of his whole division. So
great.
He's worked his way up, and he's gone to Europe and China. So I mean, he's done fantastic through his degree.
Yeah. Well, these are success stories, Trevor.
Well, I think Jennifer hit something really important. They encouraged friends who didn't see college in their future, and that's what we're trying to do also. So the message is the same. We're just trying to do it on a broader scale. If we had a lot of Jennifers out there talking to these young people, the promise wouldn't be as impactful, but we don't. And so that's why this message is the same as hers to all these students. Hey, you can go. You can get great education.
Yeah.
That's going to equate to a great job.
Yeah.
And the great thing about the technical college system is that we're an open access school. So as Jennifer mentioned, you can just start anywhere. So if you don't have all the skill sets that you needed when you got out and you can't get in someplace else, or you don't think you really are going to make it in a college environment, we've got the support systems and courses that will help you to get to where you need to be in terms of the academic level you need to be at.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Quite a story, Jennifer. Let's go to Tina in Green Bay. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I just wanted to first say that I was just at MATC on Monday. My daughter is a senior this year, graduating, and we're from the Green Bay area, and she's going to be going there for the human service program next year. So we had a great experience. The counselors were wonderful, and they actually did bring this program up and asked if it was something that we might be eligible for, but we're not, of course. But it was great that he had asked if I'd ever heard about it, and so happy to hear the program about it today. I'm a technical school graduate from NWTC in Green Bay in nursing, and I've had a great wealth of experience and have really excelled in my field. So I think that is a great thing, you know, to start at in the technical school. But one comment I did want to make was that because we're coming from a different, you know, from the Green Bay area, housing is really difficult in your area. So I'm just wondering if you, what you're doing at the school to address the housing shortages and the very expensive housing that there is in the area, because that is definitely a concern that we have had as we're kind of getting her ready for school next year.
We are extremely aware of that. Being located in downtown Milwaukee, housing is a challenge, and when there is housing, it's not always the most affordable housing. We do have a partnership with the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, so our students can participate in their housing program. So if you haven't heard about that, ask about it next time you're here, and we'll get you in touch with that. We're also working with area developers, the Housing Authority, to see how do we develop housing for our students long-term, affordable housing in the downtown area to keep them so they can learn, work, and play down here at the same time.
Yeah, housing is a big issue in the city in many, many areas, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that helpful?
We found a place in the PAPS buildings are being renovated.
You did?
And
oh, great.
We actually have found a place there that they're going to be signing a lease on. It's a little bit more comparable to what you'd almost see for a dorm, but it's a much bigger space, very close.
Very close,
walking distance, but it can be a financial challenge. So I'm happy to hear that, you know, you're looking at different avenues. So
yes, the PAPS, 1125 at PAPS, is just right across the street from us, and it's the old PAPS brewery that they're developing into student housing for Marquette, MATC, UWM, MSOE. So it is a nice alternative.
It's pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Tina, very much for your call. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To your daughter.
Thank you.
More phone calls momentarily. We're talking about the MATC Promise this hour. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Dr. Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, is with us. Dr. Trevor Kubatsky, vice president, student services. They're here in our studios in Milwaukee. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jeff in Sparta is our next caller for you. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. How are you doing today? I hope well.
Fine, thank you. Hope the same for you.
Yeah, doing well. You know, I understand the value of an educated population. I mean, it adds to society rather than detracts. Less demands on society, you know, better, less demands on healthcare, all of that. So I'm all for education. But somewhat of a dissenting view, nothing is free. And, for instance, my property taxes every year, I pay over $500 to the technical colleges as a result of legislative provisions. So there's money there for these types of programs, but someone's paying for it, myself in particular. And I came from a single-parent family, and I worked very, very, very hard for my education. I worked my way through college, and I am of the opinion that when something is given free, it devalues that that object. And I think 8 hours of community service is almost laughable. I mean, put some demands on these individuals that are getting these programs made available to them. Something that's really going to contribute rather than a nominal 8 hours, you know, arranged work study, something, but nothing should be given for free because I think it devalues it and it diminishes right. its worth.
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for the call. Vicki.
Well, you know, I think that what's interesting about this program is that we are having students to apply for what they're eligible for in terms of federal financial aid and what they're already eligible for state. Anything they get other than that is coming from private, from our foundation, and from those who contributed. So, you know, that's where the extra money's coming from. It's not coming on a tax bill. It's not being asked, you know, it's not being forced on anyone. I mean, we're getting the contributions. And I think the kind of education that we're offering, I mean, really does pay back in our community and does make it a much better place because if you think about the kinds of folks that we're educating, they, in fact, are the infrastructure of our communities, and they really contribute and make a difference. Just think about construction in this community alone and all the new buildings. We have to help build that pipeline. And so we have to make sure that we get a lot of students who are attracted to come back to school. And it's just a way, as we mentioned earlier in the program, about how to get people enticed to come back and to really consider and think about coming back to school and getting a good career so that they can contribute back to our community by paying taxes and by buying the goods and services in our community as well.
Thank you, Jeff, very much for your call. Sandy in McFarland, hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, what kind of accommodations have you made for students with disabilities? I am the former director of disability services at Madison College, and a lot of the programs that require full-time attendance prevent students, many students with disabilities are more successful at 9 credits or 6 credits or 10 credits. And does your program allow for that accommodation?
Sure. We have a full accommodation office also, and any student who comes to us with accommodations will work on their individual plan, whatever is appropriate for them, and we'll work with the faculty in their classrooms. So we want the 4 semesters of 15 up to 15 credits just to make sure the student can get enough of the education in to be successful. But individually, we're going to work with everybody individually if they have needs in that area to make sure that they're not overwhelmed. And it kind of goes to our last caller that 15 hours in a technical college classroom is very daunting. You have hands-on, you have real-time experience. So doing that in a week's time takes a lot of time. Plus, we're going to make sure that they're involved in tutoring and involved in academic support and all the other services that we know will help make them successful. So it's not that they will have a whole lot of time outside of school because they still have families, they still have community responsibilities, and so we're trying to show them how to balance life and school.
One more call, about less than a minute. Wayne in Marshfield, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Wayne.
I'm going to be opposite from two callers back. I think there's been too much emphasis on cutting property taxes. The schools up in our area, every election there's a whole handful that are doing referenda to add up to $900,000 a year for 5 years to keep their programs going. I think education has been squeezed over the last 10, 15 years, and then, of course, the university system. So hats off to your program. I think it's excellent, and I think it may get the attention of our state that, hey, education is important.
Thank you very much for your call, Wayne. Thanks to both of you for being with us this hour to talk about that program.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the program is the MATC Promise, and our thanks to Dr. Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, Dr. Trevor Kabatsky, who is serving as vice president of student services at Milwaukee Area Technical College. Thanks very much to Scotty Myers for producing this hour, and thanks to Scotty as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee, not too far from MATC's downtown campus. We'll be with you again tomorrow. News is coming up momentarily from National Public Radio. We'll be talking about the president's executive action and the case the Supreme Court is hearing. And we'll talk about students needing help in community colleges. And that's our two of our program to get special attention.